for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday afternoon service of December the 27th, 1996, at the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Null is the speaker for the afternoon.
Good evening. Can y'all hear me in the back? Praise you, Lord. Let's all stand up and pray. I never was able to pray sitting down. Praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just praise you and thank you and bless you for your goodness and your kindness to us, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that this day that you'll open your word, Lord. Lord, you said when your word goes forth, Lord, it breaks the rocks, Lord God. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that your word will go forth this day, Lord. And those that you set free are free indeed, Lord. Lord, bless this reading of your word, Lord, and this study of your word today, Lord. I thank you for these people, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, let your spirit come now, Lord. Just come, Lord Jesus. For you are our deliverer and you are our healer, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and bless you for it. And all God folks said, amen. Today we're going to look at the Word of God in James. And I'm going to look at a section of Scripture that I'm sure all of you have read several times, but we're going to look at it a little differently. First, I want to read the third chapter of James. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble at many things. If one does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they will obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. For every creature, or every beast and bird, or reptile, or creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same fountain? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no fountain can yield both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, soulish, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I could go ahead and read chapter 4 and chapter 5 because they are all related to one thing, and that's the tongue. And today I want to talk to you about the spoken word. The words that you speak are very important. It says in Proverbs 1821, that life and death or in the tongue. Let's look at that. Proverbs 18:21. I'd like for you to look it up so you can see it and just not listen to me read it, because it is said that you'll retain full 30% of what you hear, another 30% of what you see, but about 70% of what you see and hear at the same time. So look at the scripture, 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love what? If you speak death with your tongue, you will eat the fruit of death. If you speak life with your tongue, you will eat life. That's what it means. As ye sow, so shall ye reap. Praise. And so out of the mouth, going back to James now, out of the mouth comes both curses and blessings. Now, if we look at this carefully, it says that no man can tame the tongue. The Holy Spirit can tame it, but you can't. The Holy Spirit can tame your tongue, but you can't. It is a unruly evil full of deadly poison. The psalm says that the poison of asps is in their mouths. He said we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The poison of asps is in their mouths. Paul says that in Romans. And so you need, I've always thought that it was sort of poetic that this, that the sign of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would be that God would take care of the would take control of the most unruly member of your body, your tongue. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men. Now look, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. They shouldn't be so, but they are. It happens. And it says, does a fountain send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? No. Well, what does that mean? It means, brethren, that you have two fountains in you. Once you become saved, once you get adopted into the Spirit of God, you have two fountains in you. You have one by which you speak out of the Spirit of God, and one which you speak out of the Spirit of the world. Now, where does it say that? Well, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I could talk for an hour about that. I don't want to get off on that. I won't get out. But I say this to you, that whenever I get really upset when I hear a preacher or a man of God using psychological terms, you will not find in this book anything that says the unconscious mind. You won't find it in there. But they talk about your unconscious mind and this and that, and they're adding to the Word of God. They aren't speaking in the Spirit that is from God. They are speaking in the spirit of the world. And where are they ministering from? Are they ministering from the Spirit of God? No. They are ministering from the spirit of the world. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, with that, I'll let it go. I let that go. But I get very upset when I hear people ministering and using psychological terms and getting into pointless philosophical discussions, which 2 Timothy says, don't be involved. Let's look at that. Let's turn over to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 16. It says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more to ungodliness. Their message will spread like cancer. Now, I like the New Jerusalem's interpretation of that. And it says, don't get involved in pointless philosophical discussions. It will only erode your faith like gangrene and lead you further from the truth. And that's what this means.
vain babblings. Get to talking about Plato and Aristotle, and all that does is that just leads you away from God and erodes your faith. Well, I said if I get into it, I might not get out. Okay. And so you've got two fountains, one from the Holy Spirit and one from the spirit of the world. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll see a little more about this spirit of the world. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works among the sons of disobedience, among whom you also once conducted yourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." That is the spirit of the world. Now remember that 1 John tells you, he who is in you is greater than the spirit in the world. And so you've got these two fountains in you. One from the Holy Spirit, when you speak in the Spirit, and one from the spirit of the world. They both have power. Now you all know that when you stand and declare on the Holy Spirit, when you stand in the Spirit and you declare something in faith in the Holy Spirit, it will come to pass. For God says, "My word will not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I sent it forth to do." And if you stand and speak it in faith in the Holy Spirit, it will come to pass. I've seen dozens of creative miracles come about as you stand in the Spirit and speak it forth. I've seen lots of times that you spoke it in, you speak it in presumption and it doesn't come to pass. When you get step a little out of beyond your faith, or your heart deceives you, one of the things that's very dangerous about ministering to people that you know and love real well is that your heart will deceive you. And what is the heart? In the Scripture, the heart can be either the spirit or the soul. It says the inner being. Now, I can show you scriptures that show you that the heart speaks of the spirit, and I can show you scriptures where the heart speaks of the soul, and the Word of God divides them. Let's look at this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God," Hebrews 4:12, "for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Jeremiah 17 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Let's look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and incurably sick or desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." So the Lord knows the heart. And you say, "Lord," and one of the things, you know, you can love someone so much that when you think that you are prophesying in the Spirit, and actually you're prophesying out of your own spirit. And lots of times I've seen this happen to noted good godly evangelists, good godly people, and they're prophesying to someone they know, and they know that this person has problems, and they want so bad for it to turn around, and they prophesy out of their heart, their own heart, and it doesn't come to pass. But God knows the intent of the heart, and he does not count that sin. I don't think he counts it sin, because he knows the intent of the heart. But, well, let's go back. Now, let's look at Luke 9:55, words of Jesus. Now, here were the men who'd been with Jesus now almost 2.5, almost 3 years, sitting at the foot of the Master. They're going back to Jerusalem. And they come to this Samaritan town, and the Samaritans won't receive him. And so they come back and say, Lord, they don't want you coming through because you're going to Jerusalem. Shall we call fire and destruction down on them like Elijah? And then Jesus says to them, and he turned and rebuked them, said, you know not what manner of spirit you are. He said, you don't know what spirit you're speaking out of. Now, these are men that he has sent forth to minister. He has sent them out as his apostolic team of twos. And they had gone out and they came back and great healing had happened and great ministry. They had a great ministry time and they had turned the nation upside down to the point that he couldn't even go into the villages anymore because he got mobbed from people who wanted him to be healed. But you see, he didn't minister to the Samaritans. He just went to the Hebrew children. He didn't go to the Samaritans. He prayed for non-Jews, non-Hebrew people only twice in the Bible there. The Syrophoenician woman and the centurion. Because they demonstrated great faith. But he was going through the Samaritans. He was going to Jerusalem. And then he said, no. He said, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they just went on to another village. But the point is, they were speaking not out of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but the authority of Jesus, but they were speaking out of the spirit of the world. He said, you don't know what kind of spirit you've got. And then he said to them, you wait him, and the power will come upon you. And you will receive power from on high. And then those people had. And so, let's look at one other scripture now.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Let's look at one other scripture. 1 John 5:18. Now, there are several interpretations of this, and I'm going to give you Derek Prince's interpretation of this word. Now, Derek Prince says that he studied Greek since he was 10 years old. He was entitled to teach it on a Cambridge University level, Cambridge being the hardest university in the world. And he said he was entitled, didn't mean he was always right, but he was entitled to an opinion because Greek was such a difficult language. And so this is his opinion. He said, do you not know whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself and the wicked one does not touch him? Well, you know, people, I have to confess, if that means that if you've been born again, you're not going to sin, I'm afraid I sinned after I was born again, you know. What he's speaking of, he's not speaking of Brother Null here. He's speaking of a nature that was born in Brother Null. This fountain that speaks out with the Holy Ghost was born at that time. It was born at that time. That fountain that speaks out with the Holy Ghost. Let's look at 1 John 3:9-10. Whoever's been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. But he cannot sin because he's been born of God. There we're talking about that nature again. That God-like nature that is born in you when you are born again. Now, the standard interpretation of that verse, I must tell you, says that they believe that does not habitually produce sin is the standard evangelical interpretation of that verse. And that is what most pastors will tell you it means. But I tell you what Derek Prince says it means, and I believe Derek Prince is correct. It means that there's a nature born in you that will not sin, that's born from the holy seed of God. You've got that other nature in you, the nature of this world. And it's like, you know, God said, I bore you out on eagle's wings. God speaks of an eagle. The sign of John's gospel was an eagle, which was the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, an eagle only has a clutch of one egg, generally. But sometimes she'll lay two eggs, and she'll hatch those two eggs. And if you set up a camera and you record, what happens is that those two little eaglets sit in that nest. And when she arrives, she pokes food down the first mouth that gets up there. And one of those eaglet chicks will be stronger than the other, and he will push his way up, and he gets fed, and she doesn't seem to make any difference which one. She just feeds. And after a week or two, this other one is sitting on top. The one, the big one, that's getting fed all the time is sitting on top of the head. The little one won't let him eat at all. After a while, he's dead, and then he gets pushed out of the nest, and there's only one eagle chick left. Now, the natures in you are like that. You want your God nature to grow, the nature that's born of God. Then you feed it. And that's what the Scripture says. You feed that nature. And as you feed that nature, it will speak forth, and you will learn to be able to stand and make declarations that will come forth in the life of you and your children and your family. And your family in God, and your nation, you will proclaim the Word of God. You will proclaim deliverance and healing in the Holy Ghost. If you stand and you speak forth in that worldly nature, and you speak anger and rage and hostility and hate and envy and jealousy, those words will go forth and they're curses. They are called bitter words in Scripture. And they're like unto arrows. And they will pierce your loved ones when you get angry and rage and spit out those angry words. And they will pierce them. And bitterness will grow in. Envy and jealousy. Praise you, Lord. Let's go back to James. It says here, who is wise? Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Okay? But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition, if you've got bitter envy, jealousy, selfishness, selfish ambition, idolatry, and this is what comes out of your mouth, if that's the wisdom that comes out of your mouth, it says, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, or soulish. Comes from the soul, the spirit of the world, demonic. But that is speaking out of the spirit of the world. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. When you start speaking these things out, confusion comes into your life, the lives of your loved ones, the lives of people around you, and every evil thing comes out. Because you have spoken these words out of your mouth. You've launched them out of your mouth. But then there are seven things. But the wisdom that's from above, there are seven things. Pure, one. Peaceable, two. Gentle, three. Willing to yield, that's four. Full of mercy and good fruits, that's five. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Those are the seven characteristics of the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. That will bring peace in your life. Look at those. When you open your mouth to speak, look and see if it's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy or partiality. Is that what's coming out of your mouth? And that's not coming from the world, I'll tell you. Things that come out of the world are envy, jealousy, anger, and rage. Now, they can be cloaked in self-righteousness. The world can cloak it with self-righteousness. You can rationalize it, make it look good. I don't know how many people tell me they want to win the lottery so they can tithe on it to God. That's right. They want to win the lottery so they can tithe on it to God. I said, you can give the whole thing to God? I said, if you want to win it for God, it means you can give it all to God. No. I'm just going to tithe on it so I can tithe on it so we can do great things for God. I said, God doesn't need that dirty lottery money. You don't need that kind of money. I'm going to have to admit, in Kansas, the lottery got to $110 million. And I went out and I bought a ticket. You know, I was standing there and I was getting my Diet Coke and my bagel at the Quick Mart, you know. And I look at that up there, and I said, yeah, give me one. How many people standing in line, boy? They're buying 50 and 60 of them. How many you want? I just want one. And I didn't get out of the door. Well, God convicted me, you know. I just didn't even get out of the door good. And so I went over to this trash can where nobody could look. You know, I tore it up and threw it away and got in my car. And I hadn't pulled out the driveway. The devil spoke to me and said, you tore up the winning ticket. Yeah, you done throw away that winning ticket. You better go back and get pieces of it. I said, devil, I'm going to tell you one thing. If that's a winning ticket, ain't but three folks going to know it. Me, you, and Jesus Christ. Because I bind you and you can't tell anybody. And I assure you ain't nobody else going to ever know. Well, I have to admit, I did not want to go through the rest of my life with points that, yeah, he tore up a $110 million lottery ticket winner. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But, I mean, you can deceive yourself. Your heart is so deceitful, it will deceive you. And you can cloak your greediness with self-righteousness, with good motives, your selfish ambition, your jealousy and envy. You can justify to the world, but not to God. God says, forgive. I forgave you, you forgive. Praise the Lord. And you said, well, let's look at Galatians 6. We talked about it, but I want you to look at it. Galatians 6:6. I want you to see, when y'all get through, I want you to go back and read the last two chapters of James and look at them as realizing that they too refer to the two fountains of the speaking of the tongue and submitting your tongue to God. That's what they speak of if you read them in that attitude. But I won't attempt to go through them today. If I start in that, we won't ever get out. We'll be here at 10 o'clock tonight. Now let's move on here. Galatians 6:6. Let him who is taught the word. See? Your teacher again. The other one started, remember? But they're talking about the teacher. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that which he will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And do not grow weary while doing good. In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, because of that, if we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Now he's talking about someone has sown into your life the Word of God, and you're supposed to allow him to reap from your life. You're supposed to share with him the good things. Because as you speak and sow, so shall you reap. You speak death, you'll reap death. Spiritual death. Physical death. Sow life, you'll reap spiritual life. As you sow the Word of God, it'll come back to you in the form of spiritual life. Health, prosperity, serenity. Come back as shalom. Peace. And don't get weary. It'll come back. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. So sow, people. Sow the Word of God. Praise your Lord. Matthew said, Matthew 12:34 says, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man brings out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, every idle word men may speak, they will give account of on the day of judgment. God gave me a vision of that. I was praying about it, and God gave me a vision of it. The Brunner seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And you know, it says at the judgment seat that the books will be open. Now those books, that word book is a scroll. Means scroll. And God showed me the scroll was a big magnetic tape and there was this huge television screen. And he was telling me I had said something. I said, ah, say that. And he said, play that tape again for him. And here came across and there it was, right there, up for me to see, you know. Now God gives you visions that you can understand. And he gives it in the vernacular that you can understand. I don't know if it's going to be a big television, big 30-foot television screen up there in heaven for you to look at everything you see, but that's what my vision showed me. But God has got it all recorded up there in the book. I said, man, you know, it doesn't take a very big magnetic tape to record everything you've ever said. Praise the Lord. I said, yes, sir, Lord, I did say that, didn't I? Brother Pittman said that everything that he, after that, Brother Pittman gave his witness, and he said, all the words he said were recorded up there before him to see. You'll be judged. And he asked God, and they showed it to him in Scripture. Said, yeah. I said, well, at least somebody else has seen besides me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You remember Matthew 15:18? It says the things that come out, it says not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out. For out of the mouth comes murders and fornications and curses and the evil eye and witchcraft and sorcery and so forth and so forth. Let's look at Ephesians now. What does Paul say to do? Paul wrote specific instructions to his churches about the mouth. It was so important, the Holy Spirit recorded it for us. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness or rebellion, wrath, anger, loud talking, evil speaking, or speaking curses, be put away from you with all malice. Or ill will. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving, just as God in Christ forgave you. Well, that says you just, only what gives, edifies and imparts grace is what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to let all these other things go away. Because if you don't do that, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And people, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is the steward of the treasures of Almighty God. He is a steward, and he hands them out. It says he hands out the gifts as he will. Let's look at that. Keep your fingers in Ephesians. We'll be back. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Don't grieve him, people. You won't be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Look at Isaiah 63:10. It tells you that if you rebel. Well, let's look at that. Let's go back over. That's an important verse about grieving the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that. Let's go back to Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Now that's sobering. That's a sobering thought. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit by letting all this filth come out of your mouth. Loud clamoring and arguing, being angry, saying bitter things. Of course, now the Holy God says, if that happens, don't let it go down on you. Don't let the sun go down on you. Go make it right. Don't let the sun go down. Why the sun? Because the Hebrew day starts at sundown. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. It says, be angry and sin not. If you get angry, don't sin about it. Don't let the sun go down. Go make it right. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at Ephesians 5:4. I love Ephesians 5:3 in the NIV. In the King James, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness of covetousness, let not even be named among you as fitting the saints. Then the NIV says, but there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality among you. Not even a hint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but the rather of giving of thanks. You know, that's the spirit of the world. I was in the YMCA, and I was down in the locker room, and I was getting a massage, and one of the men started telling a coarse joke. I don't know who he was, but he got a little coarse, and I said, sir, I don't know who you are, But would you please take that outside, because that offends me. That offends the Holy Spirit in me. Wait a minute. I said, just take your dirty joke and go someplace else and tell it I don't want to hear it. I said, this is a YMCA. That's a Young Christian Men Association. And we're not supposed to tell crude jokes like that. Please go someplace else. And I could feel the enmity. But he left. And Masseur, who was a born-again, spilt-filled Christian, apologized to me. And he said, is that in the Bible, Doc? I said, yes, it's in the Bible. He said, I would not let people talk like that in here, should I? I said, no, you should not. You're standing for your healing. You shouldn't allow that kind of talk around you. And you certainly shouldn't participate in it, because it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Really? And so I went over to my coat, took out my testament, and showed it to him. Now, I haven't heard any more crude jokes from him. But I took a stand. I could have just ignored him, maybe chuckled at his joke. But God says that you shouldn't take it. I mean, if you do that, you're going to be maligned. But you know what it says? If you be maligned for Jesus, then the glory rests on you. The glory of God will rest on you. Glory, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's see now. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. That's verse 18 through 21. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay. Speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You mean you're supposed to go around singing choruses? Yeah. You're supposed to go around speaking in tongues and singing the spiritual? Yeah. And you're supposed to go around humming? Yes. And I go around singing Holy, Holy, Holy and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I just go down the hall singing, you know. People can hear me coming because I'm singing. Now, if any of you ever heard me sing, you know that I don't really have a very good voice. But I'll tell you, I am not ashamed to praise my Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that does? That keeps me from speaking out of the spirit of the world. It keeps me. It pulls down the imaginations and the strongholds in my mind as I could go along and I could replay what happened yesterday or last week or last month. And if I had just bought Walmart, you know, when I started to back in 1980, you know, I could sit and figure out how much money I'd made. And that's a vain imagination. And says you're supposed to pull those things down. And how you pull them down? Well, you fill your mind with good things. Fill your mind with good things. Let that good stuff come out of your tongue. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, giving thanks, you know, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians, starting with verse 16, 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, how many places in the Bible does it say this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus? Not many. That's important, is to give thanks in all things. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophesying. Test all things. Hold on to good and abstain from every form of evil. If you do that, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely and preserve your whole spirit, soul and body, be blameless. If you do those things, then the God's going to be with you. Talk, let the come out of the good fountain. I'm going to tell you, what you fill yourself with is what's going to come out. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. You fill yourself with this. Read the Word. And I like the Oriental custom of reading aloud so I can hear it. Read it. Pray in tongues. Let that go in. Praise God. Learn choruses that you can sing and hum. Pray for your family as you move around. And then thank God. Thank God for tribulation. It says in James there, when you get tempted, thank God for it. When you get in tribulation, Thank God for it purifies you. Let's look at Acts 5:41. I've always looked at this and said, oh, Jesus, am I going to have to go through something like that? Acts 5:41. And they agreed with him. Little starting at verse 40. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them they should go and speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And so they departed from the presence of the counseling, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. And they left there saying, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for this whipping, Lord, that we were worthy to be whipped for your name. Thank God in tribulation that he'll cure you through it. In all things, give thanks. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's look at a couple other places. In 1 Peter chapter 5, what does it say? I mean, 1 Peter 4:12, I'm sorry. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 first, though. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, starting with verse 21. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Okay, that's our example. Now let's look on over at 1 Peter. Turn over the page to 1 Peter 5, verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4, I'm sorry, 10 and 11. But each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. And if you come on down here in verse 14, if you're reproached or insulted or reviled for the name of Jesus, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and God rests on you. Thank you, Lord. And so I say to you people, God is good. God is good. When you need to learn to feed the fountain of God, you need to take control. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll close with that. Chapter 10, verse 3. For we, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down a stronghold, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. And so what you do is, you just sing the hymns, and you praise God, and you pray in tongues. And those fantasy thoughts try to come in. And you occupy yourself. And when evil hits you, praise God for it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Don't figure out how you're going to get even. Don't figure out how you're going to get revenge in your mind. Start praising God. Now let's look at one other verse. Well, I'm just being obedient. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 4:4. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will guard or garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, pray. Give it to God. Rejoice in tribulation. Rejoice with problems. And commit them to God. Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. And the shalom of God will guard your heart. And then it says, it's interesting, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, anything praiseworthy, seven things, think on these things. Don't think on how much money you'd have made if you'd have bought that Walmart stock in 1980. Because then you wouldn't have to depend on God. You know, I had I am the treasurer of a Christian school. I was president of the board for a number of years, and I feel that if one person stays in charge too long in an institution like that, that you get stale, that you need new blood. And so I refused to be president after 4 years. And we prayed, and God's raised up wonderful people to be on the board. But I'm treasurer and chief financial officer. I don't vote. I'm a member of the board by ex officio, which means because I'm treasurer, but I don't vote. But I pray a lot, and I look at the budget, and I look at the checks, and the one thing God told me when I took this, when we brought the school there, and he told me I had to be, and through a series of events, I became the president. I never intended, I would have never agreed to it, but through a series of events, God brought it to pass. And he said to me, this is my school. It runs by my grace. If you depend solely on me for my grace, I will pay the bills, but you must run it in a business-like manner. It has to be run in a Christian, business-like manner. And you pray, and you ask me, and I will provide. And he always has. Before we got it, they always had to have cake bake sales and begging parties and everything else to get enough money to pay the teachers' last 2 months' salary, you know. And sometimes the teachers didn't get paid till the next year started. And I just said, well, I don't want anything to do with any foolishness like that. That can't be of you. Because it says, you know, that if you withhold the wages, they cry out to God, and he considers it sin to you. And I said, Lord, I put myself in. He said, no, if you do that. Well, last year we had a $5,000 deficit. And I prayed about it and prayed about it. And God said, go with the deficit. I will provide. So I took it to the board and said, I want y'all to pray about it. I said, I know what God's told me. I want to know what y'all's. And they, we prayed and prayed. We had fasted all day and we prayed. And it was a unanimous agreement that we would move forward in faith and God would meet the deficit. Well, he not only met that $5,000 he gave us, we met it before a half year, and we hired another teacher and went out and did another $5,000, and he met that too. So at the end of the year, we looked at what we were paying our teachers, you know, and I just get ashamed at what we pay those good Christian people that drive 35, 40 miles to teach at our school. Good, qualified, licensed teachers who drive in, and but God provides for them. He raised them up. He provides for them. And I wanted to raise the teacher's salary because we were lower than most other Christian schools. And so we prayed and we raised this. And I had a meeting with the parents and told them we were raising the tuition and showed them what we were raising. And everybody agreed. And so the next year when I looked at the budget, when I got together and we figured the budget, we had $1,000 ahead, and I felt so good, and I went in and gave it to the pastor and smiled, and the pastor smiled, and as I was walking back to the school office, I looked at it, and I realized I'd left out $12,000. $12,000 in the hole. Now, we're talking about a $350,000 budget. $12,000 in the hole. Where are we going to get another $12,000? I went back, and I tried to figure out how to raise that side, raise tuition, and I couldn't figure. I just, every time I turned it, so I said, Lord, what's going on? And he spoke to me, and he said, you know why you were so happy when you went in to see the pastor? I said, why, Lord? He said, because you wasn't going to have to stand in faith next year. I said, oh, that's the reason. So I took it to the board. I couldn't raise the money. I took it to the board, and we stood in faith for $12,000. God has been faithful. He not only raised that $12,000, he also raised another $20,000 to invest in things that we needed, you know, like computers, you know. I think a Christian school ought to have good equipment. You don't think they ought to have cast off, second hand, low rate. What do we got? We got 486, 200 megs computers, you know. We got good computers. State of the art. I mean, God gave them to us. Enough for every kid to have one. Desk to put them in. We got typewriters, word processors for them to learn typing on. We got brand new sewing machines. And people just came in and gave checks. I don't know who gave it. The bookkeeper knows. Nobody wanted credit for it. Everybody said, I want it done anonymously. Nobody knows but poor Betty, who knows, who gave all that money. And praise the Lord. I thank God for them. Lord, I thank you for those good people who were obedient to you, Lord Jesus. I thank you. I don't even know how I got on this. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
But God is gracious. I guess I was talking about the graciousness of God and the tribulations, and I don't know how I managed to get on this, and I've lost even the point of telling the story, to tell you the truth.
That's good, don't it? That's good, brother.
But I just want you to know that God is faithful. And I encourage all of you to feed that new man that's been created in you, that's born with the seed of God, that speaks forth in the Holy Ghost and speaks forth that creative word that will bring forth healing and deliverance in your families and in your church and in this world today. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by allowing foul language to come out of your mouth. Don't hurt your family by cursing them. Don't hurt yourself by cursing them. By grieving God, and He will withdraw. And praise you, Lord Jesus. And you will, hallelujah, Lord. He will withdraw from you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And maybe turn. Isaiah 63 is pretty straightforward. I just don't like to say that. And so, today, I can talk. I could go on for another hour and a half or 2 hours, but I think it's time to quit. I wanted you to know that there are two fountains in you, and that what you say is important. You should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Your word should be seasoned with salt to bear grace and edify, produce edification in the hearer, and bear grace to them, and let all the rest of it go. Don't answer back. Remember that Jesus, when He was reviled, He did not revile in return. And when He was threatened and insulted and hurt, He didn't threaten retribution, although He could have. And the God of grace will be with you, and He will meet your needs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you now, Lord God. Satan, I speak to you that this word has fallen on good soil. You shall not steal it. I seal it. If I've spoken anything, Lord, that's offensive to you, that's incorrect, I would ask you to remove it from their hearts. And Lord, I ask you to let that word sink into the good soil of their hearts and bear forth a crop 30, 60, 100 fold, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand up and let's just praise Him, you know. It said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Praise your Lord. Jump up and down a little bit and praise Him now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get your blood already circulating out of your feet and up to your head. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise Him, people. Rejoice and always rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Praise you, Lord Jesus. For the God is enthroned upon your praises. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, praise Him and move the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're great and mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, people, let's sit down and put both feet on the floor. You know, I asked you when in a mass deliverance service, I ask you to keep both feet on the floor and don't cross your arms. The enemy is a legalist. He's an absolute legalist. And you remember when you were a little boy, little girl, they said if you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell the truth? That you really didn't mean it? Well, I said that, but I had my fingers crossed. Now, that's a witchcraft sign saying that you don't really mean it. You got your feet crossed and you command this thing to come out, the devil said, you got your feet crossed, you don't mean it, I can stay here. That may sound silly to you, but that's the way he is. He's an absolute legalist. He's an expert. He will use every legal excuse to keep from setting you free. The enemy will take ground that you yield to him immediately. He will jump in there and he will claim jump just as quick as he can. You offer him an inch, he'll take it. And he'll try to get two or three more while he's at it. And then when you start to claim it back, he's the most stubborn squatter you have ever seen. And he will file legal briefs
and use every dirty trick in the book that he can think of to keep from being evicted off this squatter's ground he's squatted on. Because he's got no legal right to be in you except that you give him. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, bought and purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. And the price was not corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You hear that, devil? I'm going to lead you in a general confession now. Dear Lord, with honesty of heart, humility of soul, conviction of spirit, do I make this following confession? I've sinned against you and disobeyed your word, whether it be through willfulness, ignorance, or curiosity. I do now repent of these sins and ask you to forgive me through the blood of Jesus Christ. By an act of my will, in the name of Jesus, I close all those doors which I have opened to Satan. And I ask you, dear Lord, to help me renounce all these things. Cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. I renounce the occult, witchcraft and magic, seances, clairvoyance, mediums, Ouija boards, and all other occult games. I renounce fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal ball, all card laying, and pendulum. I renounce astrology and all interest in the horoscopes and the zodiac. I renounce the heresy of reincarnation and all healing groups involved in metaphysics. All hypnosis, mind reading, mind control, second sight, ESP, EST, parapsychology. Renounce water witching, dousing, levitation, body lifting, table tipping, psychometrics, automatic writing, astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and other demonic skills. I renounce all mind control, power positive thinking, positive control salesmanship, and demonic power to impose my will on others. I renounce all sorcery, dependence on talismans, such as St. Christopher's medals, Mary medallions, good luck charms, rabbit foots, four leaf clovers, wishbones, and other potions and amulets. I renounce, I will destroy any that own my person or under my control. I vow I will destroy all idols to foreign gods, such as Buddhas, Mexican sun gods, signs of the zodiac, voodoo gods, and other abominations on my person, under my control. I renounce all literature I've ever read in these fields and vow I will destroy that on my person, under my control. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I break the following.
All
curses.
Hexes.
Spells.
Jinxes.
Jexes.
Charms.
Placed on me from occult sources.
I break the curse.
I break the curse
of illegitimacy.
Of incest.
Back
10 generations.
On my family line.
The curse of idolatry.
Curse of whoredom.
Off my family line.
I renounce any oaths
I or my ancestors ever made.
Any false god.
Idol.
False cult.
False religion.
I renounce any initiation right.
To any club.
Brotherhood.
Lodge.
Fraternity.
Sorority.
Which is of a demonic or witchcraft origin.
Good people, that includes just about all of them, I'm afraid. I was in a fraternity. And I said, Lord, what about that? They're just a bunch of good boys, and I enjoyed being there. He said, you remember the initiation? I said, yeah. What'd they do? I said, well, they put me in this sheet, and then and they tied this chain around me, and they carried me down. He said, well, and then they read these, and they read some from the Bible. But then what'd they say? I said, they said that the bond of brotherhood broke the chain of bondage, and they cut the string that held the chain together and fell off of it. I said, who breaks bondage? I said, you do, Lord. Fraternity doesn't do that. Almost all of them have some demonic origin in them. You know, I've delivered lots of people. And how much demonic origin it has and how much of a control does it have on you, it's on how much you worshiped it. I remember one young lady sat right over there. And we started on the sorority she was in. And she began to weep, and she said that was the only place she'd ever found acceptance. She'd been rejected all of her life. And she went to that sorority, and those girls accepted her. And it was the only place she ever felt accepted in her life. And I said, well, let's pray that if it is anything that's not of God, will leave you. And she said, this voice in me kept saying, don't do it. Don't do it. I said, well, does that answer your question? Well, does that answer your question that it's not of God? You see, if it's not of God, you want to get rid of it, don't you? She said, and she began to weep, and she said, yes. And so I called that sorority out of her, and I thought it was going to tear her throat out. In the name of Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, better go ahead. Irma's giving me the high sign. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I break any demonic supplication.
Demonic soul ties.
Or bondages.
To my mother,
my father,
grandparents,
spouses,
ex-spouses,
or any other human being,
living or dead,
who's ever dominated me
or controlled
me
anyway,
contrary to the will of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I break all curses
for psychic heredity.
Physical or mental illness.
Off my family line.
I break any curse on me or my family.
From a demonic origin.
In the name of Jesus I renounce.
Every cult.
That denies the blood atonement of Jesus Christ.
Every philosophy.
Denies the deity of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, dear Lord,
I confess
I've committed sexual sins.
I do repent
and ask forgiveness.
I confess I have committed the following.
And here, I just want you to bow your head and just very quietly, if you have sexual sin, if God has convicted you in your heart, say it very quietly to God under your breath. You don't have to say it out loud to the person next to you. Everybody look straight forward. Just turn it loose and confess it to God. And claim cleansing by the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I accept your cleansing and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I have another confession to make. I have not loved but resented certain people. I confess this is sin. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive. I want you to forgive anybody that's ever hurt you. Anybody that's ever hurt you, just very quietly under your breath. People that things keep hurts that keep coming up in your mind and you keep thinking about them and you're plagued by them and you can't get rid of them. I want you to forgive them now. Just remember that you must forgive. Jesus Christ forgave you. You must forgive. Thank you, dear Lord.
I do now.
Forgive myself. I want you to forgive yourself. Forgive. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead for my justification. You redeemed me by your blood. I belong to you. I want to live for you. I confess all my sins, known and unknown. I renounce them all. I come to you now as my deliverer. Lord Jesus, claiming the promise in Joel 2:32, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, you know my special needs. That thing that binds, torments, defiles, that evil spirit. I call upon you now, Lord, to deliver me and set me free. Satan, I renounce you and all your works. I loose myself from you. In the name of Jesus, command you to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Now I'm going to call out some spirits. If something manifests, let it go. Don't push it down. Let it go. If you think that you might lose your dignity because you manifest, that's okay. You can get your dignity back. Let your demons go. You got to choose between your dignity and your demons. Let the dignity go. You can get it back. Nobody's really interested. They're only interested in their own. They want to get rid of their demons. They're not going to remember. Folks back home ain't going to find out. We're not going to tell them. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, I break the spirit of rejection over these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of rejection, I bind you in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected people. These are children of God. They have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Rejection, I bind you. Rejection by mother, rejection by father, rejection by husband, rejection by sibling, rejection by friends, by bosses, by co-workers. I bind you, rejection, in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, rejection, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, rejection, in the name of Jesus. I bind fear. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not being cared for in the name of Jesus. Fear, come out. Legion fear. Witchcraft fear. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to be gone. All fear. Fear of not being wanted. Fear of not having enough money. Fear of not making it. Fear of the devil. Fear of the dark. Fear of the water in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear of dogs. Fear of spiders in the name of Jesus. I bind all you fears and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Come out, spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus. Be gone.
All fear, fear, lust, lust, lust of this eye, lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Come out, lust in the name of Jesus, wanting things, wanting power and prestige. All spirit of holiness, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of holiness and pride, I bind you. Lust, pride, power, position, witchcraft, in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Sexual lust, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All sexual fantasies, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, sexual fantasies, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Go, fornication, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind you. Bondage, bondage, sorcery, sorcery, bondage, bondage to alcohol, bondage to cigarettes, bondage to fear, bondage. Praise you, Lord God. The yoke of bondage, I break it. The anointing will break the yoke, every yoke. In the name of Jesus, I break the yoke. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bondage, bondage to the past, bondage to pain, bondage to sorrow, bondage to unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus, come out. Bondage to bad memories, bondage to bitterness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, bondage. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, bondage, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind sorcery in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind rock music in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. I bind the occult. I bring all the occult in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the Ouija board in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind seances in the name. All familiar spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. I bind all you familiar spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you familiar spirits, you familiar witchcraft spirits, come out. Come out. All you serpentine devils, you serpentine spirits, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come up out of people's backs. Come up out of their backs in the name of Jesus. All serpentine spirits, come out off of them. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. I break your authority. Drop off in the name of Jesus. All serpentine in the name of Jesus Christ. All serpentine, all condylema spirits, I bind condylema in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of that condylema. All condylema spirits that came in doing Lamar's in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All Lamar spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All meditation spirits. All spirits of meditation. All spirits of transcendental meditation in the name of Jesus. All Hindu spirits. All Hoodoo spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come on out. All Hindu spirits. Come out, all yoga spirits. Yoga, yoga, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out, Apollyon, Apollyon. Come out, Osmodeus, Apollyon, Osmodeus, Leviticus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All Leviathan, come out, Leviathan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, Leviathan, in the name of Jesus. Come out, the prince of pride, who can put a hook in his nose. The Holy Spirit will put a hook in your nose, Leviathan, and drag you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, come out. Out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out, all stubbornness. All stubbornness, all jealousy, all bitterness. I bind the spirit of bitterness in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of bitterness. I pull out the knife of betrayal out of their backs in the name of Jesus. I pull out the knife of betrayal. I bind bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull out the evil soul ties in the name of Jesus. Come out, evil soul ties, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I break your authority in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people. Come out. Out. Out in the name of Jesus, all of you. Come out in the name of Jesus. I come against all rage and anger and hostility and hate and murder and jealousy in the name of Jesus. All rage, come out. All spirits of accusation in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lying, all lying spirits, all Pharisee spirits, all ecclesiastical spirits in the name of Jesus. Come out. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break your authority over God's people. In the name of Jesus. Turn them loose. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose. I come against the hoodoo and the roots in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of the hoodoo in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the roots in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the witch in the name of Jesus. I come against Jezebel. Jezebel, I bind Jezebel and Ahab in the name of Jesus. Come out, Jezebel. Witchcraft. Come out, rebellion. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I bind witchcraft, rebellion, bitterness, and Jezebel in the name of Jesus. Jezebel, turn God's people loose. Turn them loose, Jezebel. Turn them loose. Take your roots out of them in the name of Jesus. I bind witchcraft. Witchcraft, mind control. Witchcraft, mind control. You can draw no power and authority from me, other spirit. I isolate you in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I command you to be gone. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the stubborn spirit, the idolatry spirit, the stubborn spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. But stubbornness is an iniquity as unto idolatry. I come against the stubborn self-will, stubborn spirits, unteachable spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the stubborn spirits, the unteachable spirits, the spirits of unbelief in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I bind the spirit of the evil eye. The evil eye. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I command him to be gone. The evil eye. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Evil eye, come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I bind the spirit of perverseness in the name of Jesus. All perverseness, come out in the name of Jesus. All perverseness, all spirits of perverseness, come out in the name of Jesus. All homosexual spirits, all man-hating spirits, all lesbian spirits, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fornication, in the name of Jesus. All gentle sex spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All masturbation spirits, I bind you. All sexual fantasy, I bind you. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't stay in God's people. For in Him we have redemption through His blood. These people have been tried in ecclesiastical court in heaven, and they've been found not guilty. Romans 5:9 says, much more now we shall be justified by His blood and saved from the wrath to come. They've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:13 says that Jesus suffered without the gate that He might sanctify the people with His blood. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I come now, Lord. Surely, Lord, you've borne their infirmities and their sorrows and their sickness and their pain. You were wounded for their transgressions. You were bruised for their iniquities. The chastisement of their peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes at the whipping post, they have been healed. I speak healing and restitution now in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. All migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of epilepsy in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of stroke and brain damage in the name of Jesus. All spirits of stroke, I bind you in Jesus' name and command you to be gone. All spirits of stroke. All spirits of encephalitis. All spirits of migraine. All spirits of meningitis. I bind you and command you to be gone from God's people. I bind all the spirits of allergy and sinusitis in the name of Jesus, of asthma, bronchospastic reactive airway disease, and bronchitis in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone out of God's people. I bind the spirits of... Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise your name. I bind the spirits of bloodgutness in the name of Jesus Christ. Command it to be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind eye trouble, nearsightedness in the name of Jesus, farsightedness, cataracts in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.